know how to start. I never know how to start the shows that don't have
by talking.
Good. Yes,
you're already off to a good start.
Yep. Aren't I?
Yeah.
You should shut up now while I'm ahead.
Don't do that. Then we won't have a show.
All right, so it's another pre-PAX episode here because
it's post-PAX.
It pre-PAX 2009.
We're having another one.
Yeah.
I hear PAX 2009 is going
to
be pretty good.
Do we need to start bringing on the PAX?
I did this in the hotel room, man. Easy things that should come to me. I have a microphone and I can't say them. Skullcrusher Mountain. I couldn't figure it out. I was like Stone Temple
Pilots.
Yes.
Good thing you don't work in radio.
Yeah. Good thing I don't work in radio anymore. And speaking of Colton, this is what I wanted to ask you. What did you think of your first Colton show?
Man, it was fucking awesome.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Totally different from what he does, like what we saw.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I heard him say that he like put together a set list particularly for like the, you know, PAX Gamer Geek crowds.
So. Right, because he did Flickr. I don't know if you saw that, Dana.
He didn't do Space Doggity.
Dude, he didn't. I also didn't get to intro him, and he didn't come to Shorty's with us.
What up with that, Joko?
Yeah.
But, he was busy.
He'll still be my friend.
Apparently he was.
Well, he was, you know, busy one night doing a duet with Frontalot.
Yeah.
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 That's apparently on the album, actually.
Yeah.
That wasn't just a...
Yeah, I have the... Yeah,
which sold out really quick at PAX.
The album?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was out of
it.
I got it first thing
Sunday morning.
Oh, cool.
So, but when I got it,
there were
seven on the table, and that's all he had left. And that was, like, when the exhibit hall opened Sunday morning.
Gotcha.
So, I imagine they went pretty quick.
Yeah. And they don't go on sale, like, to the general public till November, so...
Right.
Right.
But yeah, that is that. What you saw, given it was a different set list. But what you saw,
you mean Felicia Day doesn't come out with him and sing "Still Alive" at every concert?
No,
no.
Wouldn't that be cool? And he doesn't do that Flickr video at every concert either. But yeah, that's how I experienced him last year for the very first time. Was in that group of people doing "Read Your Brains."
Well, it was fantastic.
And I thought that's the fucking awesomest thing in the world. Let's keep an eye on this guy, and then it's just gotten better from there.
Yeah,
you know, so good. Glad you enjoyed that.
Yeah, so totally.
Anyway, we're all here with the exception of James, who is
sick.
No, he's puking his brains out, isn't he?
He's very sick.
That sucks. I'm glad I'm not sick.
Right.
I got sick last year when I got back.
I think I'm the only one in danger.
Yeah. True. Well. I'm not supposed to tell you about that. Never mind.
Oh,
what?
Okay. Oh, it was a joke.
I'm glad you went there.
He's a lonely man.
Okay, Pat.
Right. Yeah. Before I go too far down this road, and
there'll be lots of hurricanes, man.
Yeah, we got the Weather Channel on in here, so yeah. Plenty.
I didn't have
an effect of when I was coming back.
No
problem.
Everybody,
but thank you for the call. Thank you for. I appreciate the call I got.
I was just like, hey,
you might want to have a contingency plan.
You got plans for staying in Atlanta? Because I don't know if you're going to get down here.
Part of me was hoping that I'd have to. So
yeah.
You have to go back to work.
Yeah.
Right. Hurricane.
The other part of me was like, I just really want to go home.
I want a bed by myself.
I want to go home. Yes.
Well, I have to make a departure, but I wanted to say something to our friends at the MoofCast.
Fill everybody in on what the MoofCast is.
The MoofCast is a podcast, MoofCast. I don't know the website off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure if you search for MoofCast, there's not a lot of results.
Yeah, I can't imagine that there would be a lot of results.
I mean, I know there's so many usages of MoofCast, but the guys in the MoofCast have challenged us to some sort of throwdown.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe badminton, I hear. But I'm not sure how that would work. I think they're in Wisconsin, so that might be...
Yeah, I don't think the shuttlecock will go that far.
Yeah, I don't think I can hit that far.
Yes, I did.
But, MoofCast guys, we accept your challenge. We'll have to figure out what to do. Maybe some cooking mama. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Bomberman has always worked for me. Because there's eight players.
Hey, Bomberman's a good
one. Especially if somebody sends me an Xbox that works.
Yeah,
that'd be
great.
That is true.
So we accept your challenge.
You guys are still out of commission, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yes, we are out of commission.
What's the status?
Someone needs to send me a new one?
Still out of commission.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know if a coffin was on the way.
I've got a spare one you can borrow.
A what? Spare Xbox?
Yeah.
Does it work?
Yeah.
like in your trunk?
Like, no, like in my kitchen.
In your trench coat?
In my kitchen, actually.
Jesus, man. Why did you say this?
That's where I keep all my.
I forgot.
That's where I keep all my Xboxes.
In case you're cooking and you have kitchen. A hankerin for.
Cooking. I don't know. Yeah. The Xbox. No, but yeah, I've got a spare Xbox. You should swing by the house when you get back here. You guys can use it till you get yours coffined properly.
This has been going all week.
With no bad company.
I'm sorry.
With no Braid.
I can't believe I should have thought of that earlier.
I can't finish Braid. I can't. I never even got to play the new Bad Company multiplayer that came out. And
it's so strange hearing you say that.
I'm sorry.
Well, not strange in a bad way or anything, just strange in a, wow, I never, ever expected to hear her say, God, there's new multiplayer for Battlefield Bad Company, and I missed it. It's normally, you know.
It's the music, isn't it? That's all you play it for.
I play it for I Smell Some Russians. That's why I play
I've
it.
Got to play that. I've got to play that game. I've got it now. I've got to play it.
It's good. So.
It's good.
All right, so we've got to throw down with them. If they can just,
yeah.
They need to
yeah,
just
we'll figure it out.
And let us know when, where. We'll be there.
We'll totally do it.
Yep.
So, what do we win, I wonder? What are the we got
we'll have to have some stakes.
We'll pose that question out to the MoveCast, so let us
I
know.
I won A1 with my stakes.
Yes. It's how steak is done.
It is. It really is.
And on that note, I'm out, but y'all have a great show.
Bye, right. Diddy.
Oh, so I guess you're not going to pick up the 360.
Thing, not tonight.
Well, Becky's at home.
Becky's at home. Swing by and grab it.
Hey, give me your other 360.
It's in the kitchen.
It's okay.
He can call her.
It's in the kitchen. You know, where we keep the extras.
I don't want to have the conversation about Becky's phone number on.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll be right back.
Sometimes we get a little bit too full disclosure on the show. All right, so...
So, let's see, yeah.
Man, it's just packed. So are you trying to catch up on sleep or anything? I know some people...
Man, it didn't bother me at all. I got back Sunday. I drove from Atlanta, because I flew into Atlanta. I drove from Atlanta back to Montgomery when I got in, so I didn't get back to Montgomery until almost 2 a.m. and went to sleep immediately and woke up the next day at like 8, and I've been fine.
I'm tired.
I was really surprised. I normally suffer pretty bad.
Jet lag?
Yeah.
I was doing fine up until last night during a little Wednesday night get-together, and about 9 o'clock I started nodding off.
Did you rock out to the Wednesday night get-together like you did at that Blue Skittle party?
Dude, I haven't played Rock Band at home in a while, so... Yeah. We haven't played games at the Wednesday night thing for a while. We mostly just watch TV.
I cannot... I know I mentioned it before on the hotel room cast or whatever, but...
So what exactly happened here?
He let his hair down and went apeshit crazy. Holy crap.
You didn't say anything about this last night when we were talking about PAX.
Oh, really?
No, not at all.
What the fuck you doing, man?
He's like, man, I got all these games right here. Like, look, I got 2 human for free.
Damn.
I
mean, don't be... Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be ashamed.
I'm not, but what's the point in talking about it? There's no video.
There's got to be video
show anybody.
Somewhere.
Nobody had
we'll find you on YouTube.
That'd be nice, but I don't think
oh
there is
Oh, my
any.
God. So, okay, so we're at the party. Did you drink?
I had like one mixed drink, but you know.
I was hitting my whiskeys and 7-ups. I got up there like old, like Dean Martin, whatever, sing Eye of the Tiger.
I did what I always do.
Oh, they had an open
Mike
bar
in one
there?
Hand, drink in the other. No. Mike in one hand, drink in the other, and I'm like, Eye of the Tiger! Yeah! And I'm hearing people in the back saying, this is horrible. People I didn't know, and I was still like, but you know, it was a lot of fun. So he gets up there. Later that night, pulls whatever had his hair up. He pulls his hair and lets his hair fly. Does We Care a Lot from who's that?
Faith No More.
He's going all over the place. His head banging. We Care a Lot. You know. Obviously, we don't have a webcam set up, so you can't see what I'm doing here. But that begs a repeat performance just for the people. Seriously,
next year.
I cannot believe. It's surprising. I'm just saying. It's, yeah. It's like, Daniel, if you got up there, and for whatever reason, and this is a bad example, but this is the shock extent. If you got up there and you're like, all right, I'm going to perform a song, but I've got to be in costume, took off your clothes and you had women's underwear on. That's the kind of shock.
Wow. Next year at PAX, you never know. Like,
that's the kind of shock. Well, I was like, holy shit.
If you can find 3 other EVAV guys to like wait in line with me, and a 5th one to hold the camera next year at PAX, and I'll do it again.
All right, cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, so PAX 2009, get your tickets now.
Somewhere, yeah. Come on, come see Jeremy. Go absolutely apeshit.
I'm not kidding, man. I couldn't believe.
While you were doing that, somewhere there's a picture of me at GameWorks, like playing one of the I don't even remember which one it was. That should say some indicator of the state I was in.
Did you been drinking?
Yeah. There's, so I've got the gun, the little mounted gun for whatever game it is, in my left hand, and the drink in my right hand, and I'm just like, going at it. It's just, lighten them up.
All right, so was there anything at PAX that surprised you guys, like as far as game-wise, that you're now looking forward to that you weren't really thinking about before?
Dead Space.
Oh, yeah? Fracture.
Yeah?
Really?
No, not Fracture. Legendary, okay. My bad.
I was about to say, what?
Yeah, no. Legendary. Which, you know, Legendary was kind of like on the radar. If nothing else is really catching me when it comes out, then maybe I'll pick it up.
My problem with Legendary is Gamecock, and I'm not a fan of Gamecock.
No.
For the thing they pulled. But I am interested in Legendary.
Yeah,
I
kind of
feel bad about that.
It's
I'm like,
so pretty.
I shouldn't like this, because it's Gamecock. But
that game is gorgeous. Man, and seeing, because, you know, the demo they had set was the intro to the game or whatever, and seeing that big junk monster made of cars form itself and, like, rip through a building, it looked really awesome. I was like, well, this is cool.
You know, some of the things that surprised me were these PC games, because I haven't been able to play them.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
So when they had that media entrance into it, when we were all there 2 hours before the main show floor opened, I walked over to the Stardock place, and I'm like, oh, man, that's pretty. Because I saw Sins on the displays, and I'm like,
such a pretty
that's
game.
Really pretty.
Yeah.
Because I obviously I'd only seen like trailers and man,
yeah, and it just doesn't do it justice.
No, it doesn't.
Sins is a very pretty
I'm like,
game.
Man, that's really.
There was a showing off Demigod, which looks very
man.
Demigod,
yeah, and that's something that I was like, you know, looking forward to begin with. Yeah. It always looked neat, but I wasn't really sure how it was going to work.
Legendary has only had a curiosity about the, did you get to see the Dragon Age demonstration?
I did. I caught it right before I left.
I'm glad, because I didn't get a chance to, and I kind of regret it after we had that PAX cast in there, and they're like, oh my god, this is great. Oh, Jesus, I love seeing it.
It looked pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's the one that's kind of the spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate?
Yes. It's BioWare.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's an RPG. So it's probably going to be pretty good. Like, just when you're putting that together.
Yeah.
It doesn't leave a lot of room for error.
Man, if it's the same
good formula
as what, like, something like Torment was, which was really damn good,
but,
then I'll get it.
The only reason that Dead Space surprised me, I know maybe when people heard me say Dead Space, they're like scratching their heads, like, well, I'm anticipating that. From the stuff I saw at E3 and from whatever I've seen since, I wasn't really. I had actually lost interest because I didn't like what I was seeing. E3, I think they really fucked up with what they showed at E3. They had a guy do a boss fight, and he wasn't really very good at it. So he kept doing it over and over again, and I was very bored with what I was seeing. And it didn't show off a lot of stuff. I mean, the sound, obviously, was loud as fuck. And so, great, good sound, wonderful, whatever. Did you get to see the stuff they had going in that little booth?
Yeah, I was there with the... Yeah. I was there in the booth with you.
Were you in line with us?
Yes.
Fuck, man. I don't remember that.
Yeah. And then the internet guys walked up to us while we're waiting in line.
That's right. Yes.
And then we were and they're always awesome. So
I started running
fast
into them more and more often.
Yeah.
After I saw them one time, it was like, oh, there they are again.
And again.
There they go again.
And again.
Yeah, so it was great. It was great running into them. They had N+ pins they were handing out and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, what I saw in that little booth there was...
Yeah, it looks good.
I love the look. Now, I know I'm going to miss Coop.
Yeah.
He was very interested in the fact that, is it going to scare me? He was like, ooh, is it
really
scary?
Yeah.
Which it doesn't seem to be very scary to me.
No.
But
that's
the fact
okay.
that
if it's
I can
a good shooter, then
launch myself at an anti-gravity room and stand over here and change perception. The HUD.
Yeah, the interface, 3D, like, it's so hard to explain, but it pretty much, it pulls the interface up and creates it as an object in the game world in front of the character rather than just overlaying it on top of what's going on. So you can actually, like, look behind the interface and see the back of it. You can look around it. It becomes an object.
That's cool.
Yeah, when it's brought up, if you look to the side, it becomes this thin line.
Because
it's a 3D type representation.
So, like, and it really...
I know, it's hard to talk.
Yeah, talking about it does not do justice how awesome it is. Like, when he... when they did that, I was, man, that was one thing. It was just like, holy shit, this is cool.
It's cool, but and it's something that I want to play, but it only, the reason it surprised me was because, not because it was scary, but because all of a sudden I thought, okay, this now looks fun to play.
Yeah.
Whereas before it didn't. I'm not worried about it scaring me. I honestly, no. I don't think it will.
No, I don't. It doesn't look too scary to me either, but like the FPS elements, and then with the anti-grav stuff.
I was about to say, they give us force powers.
Yeah, yeah. And ones that don't suck.
And I think they give us force powers better than Force Unleashed
does. Yeah, and then somebody was like, oh, so this is what Force Unleashed should have been like.
I did play... Okay, was that demo after?
What?
Unleashed?
No, Force Unleashed was 2 weeks
ago.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was four packs.
My problem with Force Unleashed was, and I hate to be jumping way back to this, but yeah. You never felt like you had much control. I mean, once you had them in your grip, yes, you had control. But as soon as you let go, they would go off to the left or the right, or I didn't know where they were going.
Yeah.
Whenever I let go of the force power. So it didn't feel like I had too much control over that. Whereas in here, it was like, it was very specific what you were doing with your anti-gravity stuff. Yeah, man, when you slice open one of those monsters in that anti-gravity field...
And it's and the blood just kind of, like, oozes out and floats.
Like, you'd slice off an arm, and so the blood would spurt, but because of the force being pushed from the blood spurt, he would start to spin, because he's in anti-gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, nice little touch, you know?
Yeah.
Rather than just be like, oh, he's dead, he goes away. But yeah, they just actually had... The physics were there, and so it was nice.
It looks really
cool. So now it's back on my radar, which is nice, because they bumped up the release date.
Yeah,
September 14th?
No, October
14th. No, October 14th. Oh, yes. Lord.
October 14th, which pulls it out of that week of Fallout 3, Far Cry 2, and Fable 2.
Which has probably had a lot to do with why they moved it.
Possibly, yes.
Because when you're coming out, because that's another thing that was in PAX, was Fallout 3, and when you're coming out the same week as that game, like,
Man, I want that trailer. That they had out there?
Oh, man. Like,
did you make it to the big
presentation? I made it to the big 30-minute presentation in the theater. Holy cow.
I'm glad, yeah.
Like, oh, man. It was really, really cool to watch that game. They've just done a really amazing job with that.
Did you get a puppet?
So much fun. I didn't get a puppet. I got a t-shirt.
Okay.
Because they gave out those little cards, and each one had a different stat on them, and based on the stat was determined what you get. So, yeah, I got the t-shirt, which is okay. I'm totally cool. Because they weren't all extra large. They actually had sizes. So mad props to anyone who goes to a convention like that and gives away free t-shirts but has different sizes. Because I'm not an XXL. I never will be an XXL. Like, that's... that your shirt won't fit me. I won't wear it. I'm talking to you, Champions Online.
Right, speaking of Champions Online,
which look cool.
Oh, man. Good. I'm glad you're agreeing.
Yeah. Right. It looked cool, but damn it, I'm not that fat.
So, it's been a long time since I found any MMO like a lot of fun to play. And there were two out there that really got me excited. One a little bit more than the other, but one of them was Champions Online. And... man, that played really good on the Xbox 360 controller. And the way that you can do a jump punch and different types of moves, a lot more like an action game than an MMO, which is a lot of click on this power, then click on the guy to use your power.
Which,
you know?
I'll say this real quick. I was kind of bored with what I was playing. However, I chalked that up to the fact that the guy was going over everything with you.
Yeah.
And I was just fending for myself, whereas the guy was standing there saying, oh, if you do this, you can do this.
Yeah, so, and in MMO, it's one of those things where you really, it's hard to just jump in there.
I just didn't know what I was doing, so I think a lot of it has to do with that, with my dislike of what I was playing, but because of your experience, I want to give it another go.
Based solely on the controls and the environment that I was playing as, I'm fairly excited about that, because it seems to deliver a lot of what's been missing from MMOs for me personally.
Yeah.
Whether it'll have enough content, you know, to
be... that's always the eternal question with MMOs.
Which is interesting to hear coming from... well, not coming from you, but interesting to hear about a game that's coming from Cryptic, who has already done the superhero MMO.
Yeah.
You know, and done it very well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that costume creator, but...
The other one, though, and I'm actually much, much more excited about this, I'll certainly give Champions a try.
Although we should mention you crashed the...
I did crash the Champions client.
Yeah,
yes! Totally.
They were like, they actually had some trouble bringing it back up, actually.
It's like, yay me.
I crashed Left 4 Dead within like the first 20 minutes.
Did you?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when it was during the press time. Like, I walked over that before That's I found fun, you man. Guys. Like, I walked right to it. Bam. Like, nobody else had touched it yet.
We gotta talk, we'll talk about Left 4 Dead.
And I brought it down.
Because right. it deserves it, again.
The other one I played that completely took me by surprise was the new Jumpgate MMO.
That's right.
Because Eve didn't really do anything for me.
Spreadsheet online?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, yeah. The first Jumpgate didn't really do much for me, but it was open PvP.
Yeah.
So, you know, you hop in, you're a new guy, and
you're
guys have been
slaughtered.
There longer kill you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm done now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that was... All right. Good luck with that.
But, man, the new Jumpgate is PvE with, you know, opt-in PvP.
Right.
Like, you know, any, you know...
Sensible.
Yeah. Warcraft... City Heroes, whatever. You know, that's how I want to play. But the thing that really got me was, man, that game is inspired by Freelancer. Something
yeah, really.
Fierce. The controls, the mouse, you know, control for the thing is right out of Freelancer. It felt like I hopped
nice.
Right back into my Freelancer ship. And I was flying around and shooting down, you know, computer-controlled enemies. But now it was an MMO instead of just a 64-player server.
And I gotta think, which we didn't do this on that cast. Of course, again, that was a sweaty ass hotel room that we were fucking hungry and wanted to go eat with by the time we were getting around to my personal thanks and that sort of thing. But the developers who were out there on the show floor, whenever during that media time,
yeah,
very helpful and eager.
Oh yeah, everybody like, there was great.
They were there, I mean, seriously, yes, they were very just like, hey, come sit down, and look at our game. We'll talk to you about it. You know, and Stephanie over at Stardock was like, hey, come back for the big presentation.
Yeah.
And you want to go see the Gamers Bill of Rights? We're not showing it yet, but you can lift up the thing and look at it and all this other stuff. So, I mean, they were really, really. They were very well. They were welcoming.
Yeah.
To just us being there rather than just saying, oh, here, fend for yourself. Here's what you can do. We'll be back later. We got to go set this shit up. You know.
Now, going back to Jumpgate.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Since I wasn't done.
But he was another one that was like, oh, he was eager to talk to you, man.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, don't you can do this. And oh, and when you brought up.
Yeah, that's
freelance.
The best part about going there is press. You know, mm-hmm. I sat down and said, all right, show me your game.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to flounder around. Just show me what you got real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get as much out as I can. Anyway. It was... Champions still felt a little MMO-ish, and I don't really know how to define that.
Yeah.
But Jumpgate felt like an action title to me. At no point did it really feel like an MMO, other than when I docked and, like, got a mission and, you know, had my inventory to manage. But the actual action and the combat, it felt like Freelancer. It felt like a space combat game.
Wow.
And, you know, I've had an empty space in my soul ever since Freelancer came out and wasn't an MMO, because it should have been.
Yeah, yeah.
And something that with that much Twitch-based gameplay as an MMO that seems to be fun. Like I said, we'll have to wait and see if the content's there to carry it, but what I saw got me extremely excited.
Well, they're either
that.
In...
And the guy that I was talking to, I mentioned, like, the similarities between Freelancer. He's like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, I've actually drawn a lot of inspiration from Freelancer for this.
I was That's
like,
a good game.
Well,
yeah. You just sold me a game.
So, yeah, that's what I have.
And I think the beta for that is either going on now or it's coming up real soon.
I signed up on his little terminal for the beta.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Hopefully I'll hear from them.
Yeah.
I would really like to play that.
That may be one where I may have to do a little personal.
And plotting. I hate that James isn't here because, you know, he's been waiting a while for me to get excited about an MMO again. I didn't know if it was ever going to happen.
And it's a space MMO.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
it's not fantasy.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with fantasy, but, you know, I've kind of been there and done that a few times now. So.
Yeah.
And there's not enough space combat shit out there for
no,
me.
No, at all.
In any
MMO
genre,
or not.
MMO,
yeah.
Action, whatever. Yeah. Give me more space combat.
Yes.
So what else was seen by you guys that was...
Daniel,
I know I hung around with Jeremy a lot, and of course we'd still get split up, but...
Yeah.
I know you were...
Yeah, I just kind of ran around.
Off doing your thing.
Yeah, I had such a busy schedule, I was just kind of running all over the place. In kind of a non-video game, just to cover real quick what I saw there. I don't want to go too much into
non-video
that.
Non-video
games? Non-video games. I sat down and played a game of the World of Warcraft miniatures, which was actually, like, they've put together a really fun game. Okay. If it wasn't collectible miniatures, I would be all over it.
Now,
I don't have money for it.
Same guys, the ones with the clickable bases.
Coast, right? It's being put out by Upper Deck.
Oh, it's Upper Deck.
Wait, is
it's
this like deck. The Mage Knight crew?
It's done differently. It has clickable bases, but the only thing they're there for is tracking turns and tracking health.
Okay.
Like, there's nothing else on the base.
Yeah, this shit's Greek to me.
But, but you can, like, customize your own guys or whatever. It's basically like playing a battleground in World of Warcraft. The same, yeah, which, you know, whatever. You don't know anyway. But no, they the miniatures look gorgeous, and they did a really good job with it.
Is that the one that had the dragon?
Yes.
Set up with the dragon? Yeah, yes. We took a picture of that. That was nice.
Man, the minis in general are just really, really pretty. And then, so, if you like that kind of thing, if you don't mind, you know, paying for a collectible miniatures game, then that's certainly a really good one. And it comes out this month, I think. So, and then I sat down and played a little bit of the new version of D&D, and it's D&D, and so that was that. It wasn't very exciting. I mean, it was for what it, I mean, it just wasn't anything special. I was like, well, here it is, another tabletop RPG version that I probably won't play.
I bring it up all the time, but did you play MK versus DC?
I did.
Yeah?
I did. And I don't like fighting games. But that aside, I understand what they're doing there. And if you like that game, you know, if you like Mortal Kombat, you're going to love that game. That game is going to be awesome. If you don't like Mortal Kombat, well, you probably should not buy a Mortal Kombat game.
That's a...
Like, you know, like, this is not something that I would sell. I would say that even if you're not a fan of this genre, you should pick this up.
True, I would never do that, yeah. Especially on fighting games. I would never.
If you're not, it's not one that's so good that you should pick it up regardless. But, you know, hey, it's not bad.
You can ask James about this. Back when the 360 first released, there was just this wasteland of nothing to buy. There were the launch titles, and that was it. And once you got the launch titles, you wanted to play, there was really nothing on the horizon. And the first thing that was released that merited any, you know, sense of just taking a look at it and maybe it's worth just renting or whatever was Dead or Alive. Now, because I was so starved for a game, yeah. I was like, I'll buy it. And I bought it, and James like, you shouldn't do that. You don't like fighters. You shouldn't buy a fighting game just because it's there to buy. And I was like, but I've got nothing else to play.
Yeah.
God, was he ever right? I took that game back like 3 or 4 days afterwards. I was like, yeah, you were right. You know, and he's like, yeah, I was.
In typical James fashion.
No, he knew, man. And yeah. And yeah, I will never do that again, which is why I rented Soul Calibur. However, I'll pick up me some MK versus DC. First off, I've always liked the Mortal Kombat series.
Yeah.
I think it is your layman's fighter. You know what I'm saying? It's your no thought fighter. I don't have to put in any thought about combos and all that shit you had to with Killer Instinct and Street Fighter and all these others that are out there. It's just your you know.
Mash the buttons and hit a dude.
It's your blue collar fighter. Is what
yeah.
It is. That's right. It's the Foxworthy of fighters.
I like it when Scorpion punches the Joker in the face. That's the best part ever.
But it's also combining DC characters, so comics. So it's character. Like, all right, you got a nice little formula there. And plus it plays well, so I'll pick it up. So
Yeah. Yeah, like you know, that's exactly if for a fighter it does what it does really, really well.
Yeah.
I won't pick it up just because I have no interest in putting that. The amount of time I put into the game on the show floor is probably about how much I would am willing to put into a fighter. So I got my fill. I don't need to purchase it. But it is good at what it does. Which, you know, I made some disparaging comments about it on earlier shows. And I think I'm going to have to eat my word. It's like it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going
to
be.
Well, I'd said it after E3, and I'm like, man, just play it. I wish you guys could get a chance to play it, which I'm glad you guys finally did. And I said the same thing about Left 4 Dead. Wish you guys could get to play it.
Oh, I've been waiting for that one for a long time.
Dude, you don't know how bad you've been waiting for that until you've gotten a taste.
Left 4 Dead blew away every expectation I had.
Like, I was excited about it. I was like, oh, that's going to be a cool game. And now,
and
I want
all,
it, like,
all three
like
of us sat
that's
down.
Now the game I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all, good, all three of us sat down. Was Bap with us on that one? Did he sit down in with us, or was it just us three?
I think it was just us three.
I think it was the first time we went up there. I think there were
the
only
very
three
first time
us.
During the
pre- yeah when it was three of us.
Yeah, yeah, before the public got in there. But yeah, so we sat down and we played that and we went through that level.
Oh,
and
God.
Did you all set off the car alarm?
Oh fuck yes!
Oh yeah.
We made sure every group after us and EVAF set off the car alarm.
Yeah, shoot the car. Shoot the car. Just do it. Just do it.
Yes. Because that... Oh, God, that was great.
Right after that point was when the little demo
and
thing
ended
anyway.
Every playthrough, because we watched about four of them, including our own, every playthrough was a little bit different.
Yeah. It was.
It contained, a lot of the same elements, but it was always constructed just a little bit differently.
Because for us, when we played the very first time... That little hole in the floor in the building.
Yeah.
We had that swamp of just zombies.
Yeah, crawling over each other to get up to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That only happened to one other group.
Yeah.
That went through, and it wasn't quite as bad.
It wasn't as quiet as...
Yeah, but we didn't have as hard of a time outside.
That's true.
Like, yeah. Even after the car alarm, you know, we made it into the little safe room.
Yeah, but there were some people it was fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
That's another thing. That game is fun to watch other people play.
Yeah, it is. It's
and like, what is it, the boomers? Are those the big...
They're the big fat ones that explode.
Yeah, they were, anytime I saw one, it was in a completely different place than I had seen them on the last playthrough. They always surprised me and scared me quite a bit. Like, oh, crap, that thing's there now?
Yeah.
That wasn't where that was last time.
Yeah. No, I know,
That's good.
Yeah.
Well,
which is...
That's really good.
That, I remember
some good replayability.
Yeah, they were saying early on that was one of their things was that every time would be a little different.
It's because of the what did they call it?
The director.
The director, yes. Because what Gabe showed us at E3 was that here's a group of people who mismanaged their ammo and have been team killing each other and whatever else, just been playing like shit. Here's this scene with them, and it ends in like I don't know.
And that's
60 seconds, it's over with. They finished killing off the zombies. He's like, all right, here's the same thing where these guys have been playing strategically and have been doing their thing and have been playing very, very, very good. That takes about 3 minutes to go through because they get a lot more zombies.
And that's not a small thing because it's horror games stop being scary when you die and you go back and you're like, okay, I know that guy's around the corner,
true.
So I got to get ready to take him out. That completely removes, like, a lot... Well, not completely, but it removes a lot of the fear aspect. You start planning for what you know is going to happen.
Yeah.
But when you never know exactly what's going to happen around that corner, that completely changes.
Yeah, you're nervous. Nervous for the entire time. Yeah.
And that's a really
don't get separated from the group in this game.
Yeah.
Do not get separated, because if they see you alone, you will get fucking run over by zombies. And
not to mention the mutant zombies, you know, depending on the game type you're playing, could be human controlled as well.
Oh.
Well, that's in the multiplayer part.
Yeah,
when you're actually playing an online multiplayer game, if you're playing online co-op, you don't run into them.
Okay.
All the zombies are. But if you're playing an online multiplayer, then some of the zombies are human controlled and bots. Well, then you've got your other guys who are going after them or whatever else. So. I haven't. That's the one thing I haven't played yet is the multiplayer, and that's the one thing I haven't heard a lot about is the multiplayer. Not saying that they need it because
regardless, like whether that
co-op will keep me for a very long time.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing. What are you going to buy it for?
360.
What are you going to buy it for?
It
was a hard decision, but I thought about it a long time on the plane, actually. I made a little pro and con PC 360
list. He whipped out a spreadsheet, and he's like, all right, let's see.
Well, if I try the averages here and carry
the question is, can I limit myself to one platform on that game?
Yeah, or are you going to have to buy
because, I mean, seriously, like that's a game I can see myself playing quite a bit.
I'm going to have a PC that can run it and run it well by the time that gets released.
And here's what I'm thinking. If I can afford to get it on both the 360 and the PC, the 360
Steam
crowd,
too, by the way.
The 360 crowd tends to move from one game to another
fairly
quickly.
You'll be able to find a group longer on PC.
Yeah, so
buy a PC, rent 360.
Once when the 360 one is kind of done, I can always resell it on eBay and it will retain its value, whereas the PC one won't. But it is a more long term investment.
I might GameFly the 360 version. Like, go ahead and put that in my queue now and have it just...
I know more of the people that I play games with on 360 will get it than people I play games with on PC.
Yeah, see, I've got a pretty big
because
crowd
I think
right
everyone
now,
will have the same... All my friends all have the same logic is, well, I know everyone's going to get it for the 360, you know? Not all my friends will get it for PC, so I think we've all kind of...
I've got a pretty big crowd right now on both platforms.
Yeah.
And I do want to play that with both of them, so I'm really... I don't know that I'm going to be able to afford to do it for both, though, so I'm not sure how I'm going to handle that if I can.
I smell a poll.
Yeah.
What are you buying Left 4 Dead for, PC or 360?
Well, what should I buy Left 4
Dead? I'd say PS3, but I just don't think there's enough out there. I know. I know there's people listening going, you motherfucker. But no, I'm just... The people that I play with and the people that I know...
Yeah, I don't really have a friends list to speak of on the PS3.
No.
And there's also...
Well, most I may at some most point, but not right now. Yeah,
there's also the voice chat thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's built in for your 360 experience. It's easily obtainable for your PC experience.
Oh, yeah.
PS3, you need to go out and buy a Bluetooth headset and then and, hope that the people you play with...
That's the thing.
Bluetooth
headset. I've got a Bluetooth headset, and if I didn't, I'd have no problem going out and buying one. Mm-hmm. But making sure everybody else has one... Pretty much all the PC gamers already have their headsets.
Yeah.
And all the 360
and everybody on 360 probably has like 4 or 5 headsets. Because Microsoft likes to give those away like they're candy. Or just because they break all the time. Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't get one just, you know, hey, here's another headset.
Hey, you're at PAX. Headset. Want to go to the bathroom?
Headset. Yeah. every time you walk by anything, any PC gaming related, or
but I don't know because I don't have enough people on my PS3 friends list to really make a judgment about.
No, that's true. And again, this is about having
that's
fun and communication and all this other stuff. It's one of those things for me that's just it's got to be PC or it's got to be 360 or it's going to be both and just play with whoever's doing it at the time.
The online connectivity just isn't as rampant as it is on the other platforms to warrant a PS3 purchase.
Speaking of PS3, did you guys, any of you guys play either Little Big Planet there?
No.
Resistance 2 on the Resistance 2?
Yeah, I did play a little Resistance.
And the Resistance PSP game.
I didn't play Resistance
no,
PSP.
No, and a no.
I walked
it's
by
a
Little
watch,
Big
watch,
Planet.
And a watch for me. I didn't know.
Yeah,
no,
I was
going to
say,
I watched
Little Big Planet because like every single time I went anywhere near there, there was like 50 million people just standing around. Really
when I first walked by before everybody was let in, I'm like, well, that's a big TV for a Little Big Planet. And then I realized why it's a big TV.
They only had one!
Yeah, but they brought the biggest TV they could bring so
well,
that people
yeah.
could see
okay,
it.
How about you next time you bring a handful more platforms, you know? And so maybe it's not one person at a time.
That's the other thing I don't understand. I mean, James has brought this up many times on the show. He's like... Okay, we're enough with this fucking Little Big Planet shit. We want the game. You don't need to be doing this anymore. Why are they still? Why is that still limited like that?
I don't know.
Why?
They know it's huge. They know we're all sick of waiting and we all want to play. And yet they've got one playable station set up. Whose idea was that?
I know.
Like, and I mean, I didn't have time to stand there and wait around for God knows how long to play that game. I wanted to. I mean, I got to watch it, and it looks really cool. Like, it looks fun. But, man, God, I would have loved to have hands-on time with that.
I don't really need that anymore. I'm going to buy the game.
I wanted hands-on time with Mirror's Edge and never got it.
I did. Did you?
I did not. I watched it, and I was not as impressed as...
Bingo.
It was because whoever they have doing all the trailers that they've made, that they've released, knows the level very, very well.
Mm.
And if you don't know the level very, very well, that, like, continuous action thing that they keep showing in these just doesn't happen.
I was about to say.
There's a lot of people falling
to their deaths.
Yeah, a lot of falling to your death. There's a lot of, like, I want to jump up. Oh, I missed. Let me try to get. Oh, I missed. Let me try to get. Oh. Oh, yeah, I climbed up on top of this box. I've been standing next to it for 3 minutes.
It turned into, it turned into a game...
It looks way better
on rails,
than
but also a game of memory.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, I jump here, and then, because it would restart you not at the beginning of the level. In some places it would, depending on where you died from.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, I got the jump, and then I'm going to have to jump over that fence later, and then all this other stuff.
Yeah, then I got to do this.
It became one of those things where, I tell you what it became. And this sucks, but it became the race section of Battletoads.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Remember that?
Oh.
Where you had to memorize where, jump here, it's going to get in front, I've got to go this way. And you would just have to memorize that pattern.
Jeez.
And that's
totally
kind of what it turned into
a
little bit.
Life.
Yeah,
on the wall.
That does not sound very fun.
That's
what it felt like to me.
It was
bit.
Really, really a letdown for me. I was like, man. I didn't play Mercenaries 2 because it's out. So I was like, well, I don't need to wait in line to play this.
I played a little bit of that last night.
Play it when I get home.
Yeah, I want to put in some more time before I really go in much detail.
I haven't got a chance to touch it yet, but I really
I can say that I didn't want to stop playing last night, but it was because it was so late. Yeah. But I didn't want to stop, but I also was glad I didn't buy it. So I don't know where you can throw that in as far as how I feel about it.
Well,
I'm glad I didn't buy it, but I also didn't want to stop playing last night.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Were you playing co-op with anybody?
No. I want to try that out as well.
That's what I really want to
again,
try.
Here's the co-op. Again, Monday I'll have probably totally different things to say.
Yeah.
But trying
to think of the EA booth. There's also, what else? I played Spore at the EA booth.
That's okay. You're going to be playing Spore tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe the demo. Sure. Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
Say no more.
I went by GameStop yesterday.
Look, I'll tell you this.
You're going to have it Sunday morning, right? And they're like, yeah, we'll have it. We'll
I was about to say, you bought the game. You've already put your money in.
So I've already paid for the game.
Yes.
So.
So whatever you thinking out there in listener land, he's already bought the games. Nothing else matters.
Yeah, that's exactly my viewpoint. I just wish I lived in Australia at the moment. Though, you know, I do say, like, it's only fair. They have to wait, like, forever to get everything. It's about damn time they got something first.
Well, I'm just glad to know that DRM that has made me really worry about whether or not I'm going to purchase this game has done its job and kept it out of...
It worked very well.
Yeah. Good job, guys.
How hard were you laughing when that broke?
It just pisses me off.
The best part about I saw that news post. That one hit earlier in the day than the It's Out in Australia one. Which is like, well, it's out everywhere, actually.
It's on the BitTorts, but if you'd like it legally, head to Australia.
At least I know that if I decide to purchase it, that I can actually play it through some means without biting me in the
and
ass
the DRM bypass
off.
Utility.
God.
The DRM bypass utility works phenomenally.
Man.
No problems at all.
Just take it off.
Did you read the Gamer's Bill of Rights from Startup?
Oh, yeah, man.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Did a really good
I think it was good. Number 6 about... It's exactly what the Fraser brothers said on the show.
Yeah.
We don't treat our customers like criminals.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what it is. No gamer should be, whatever it said, no gamer should be treated as a criminal by any company. All games should be released in the final state. And
yeah,
if not,
finished.
Yes, all games should release finished. And if not, should be told beforehand, I suppose. I think that's what it said. And updates should be free and...
Frequent.
Frequent, yes. So, I don't know. I really
which is a great thing, and that means, you know, anything that comes out of Stardock is going to, you know...
And we've got some good stuff coming out of Stardock.
Oh, Demigod looks
the
so
The Sins
much
expansion?
Yeah, Sins expansion. Demigod.
Yes.
Both look great.
So...
The Demigod beta started today.
And we may have further news about that.
Yeah, we may have fun codes to give away.
Maybe.
Everybody likes that game was fun. That game was really fun. I really am glad that I got to get some one-on-one time.
I've been looking forward to that. Legendary, like you said, was one I was kind of not on the fence with. I was just like, what is this? I need to see more of it. What is this thing? You know? Did you get to play, let's see, what else was out there? Did you get to play Gears 2?
I didn't have any desire to play Gears 2. I walked by all the screens of Gears 2, and I went, look, it's Gears of War.
Two.
Okay, and then I was done. That was it. That was the extent of my interest.
Everybody that I was with had the exact same reaction.
I think everyone is just so sick and fucking tired.
This is the, by the way,
hearing about this.
This is the second PAX where a Gears game has been in that exact same location.
Really? Right inside the
last
door?
Last year, it was the PC version.
Oh, well.
Sitting right there in that doorway. Same lineup as it was last year.
I did see the presentation on the new...
Experience?
Yeah. 360 experience.
How'd you like that?
It looks really good. I really like it. I think they've done a really good job.
You get a taste of it. There's an ad for the for that summer of Xbox arcade games on Live. There's a little bit of a taste of it there.
So, you know, like, I mean, it looks really good. A lot of people I've been reading are like, oh, it's going to be terrible, and I don't know why, how they know. which is, you know, like,
Really, well, you know, of course they know. They're the internet. They're the internet. they know exactly what it is without playing.
Yeah, but like, and I saw it and it ran smooth. And from what I saw, it looks like it's going to be a real good improvement. I mean, it's largely an aesthetic thing, but they added a lot of good features in there.
Did you try Iron Chef?
I didn't try Iron Chef America. No, I did not. I
walked by their massive booth.
Dude, I was about to say for that game they had a big booth,
huge. I almost did.
We kind of laughed it off when we got the little presser about it. But when we got there, I'm like, well, damn.
Yeah, I know. So I thought, too. I was like, son of a bitch.
That's bigger than the Dead Space booth. I mean.
Yeah, it was.
Wow.
Seriously, it was huge.
It was. I almost, I had a little bit of downtime and I thought about going in there, but I didn't.
You contemplated it.
I contemplated it, and then I didn't. And I walked and perused the Wii titles instead, which had nothing to offer, surprisingly enough.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, there just wasn't anything there that I was thought was
nothing. Nothing for the
cool.
Core gamer.
Shut up.
I mean, it was just like I was like, wow, this is a bunch of shitty titles. they're not all shitty. They're all just middle of the road. There's nothing great coming out of there.
Did you check out Far Cry 2 or Prince of Persia?
No.
Okay, I didn't go to that thing. There were some people from EVAV who were winning Far Cry 2.
I had a point.
They text spammed the whatever it was. It's like, hey, text something something to this number and you'll be entered in to win. Swag. And so they're like, fuck, spam it. And I think Sandman won a copy of Far Cry 2. They're going to mail it to him when it's released.
Wow.
A couple other people, Ghostbear got a copy or something like that. But yeah. I kind of feel bad for not. I remember seeing the sign for it, and I'm like,
I never saw the sign.
I had interviews.
I was like,
during
fuck
that
you.
Time
I'm not gonna. So I'm not gonna put my. I'm not gonna send a text. You're just gonna get my information and spam me with mail later. I'm not gonna do that. Oh, whoops.
Could have got a game, Scott.
Could have gotten my head shaved and got a game, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah. Either. The Brothers in Arms people were shaving your head and giving you Brothers in Arms, which is weird.
I still can't believe none of the people that went with us at EVAV. Three of which had hair that was like less than an inch high, went to the Brothers in Arms booth to see if they could get their game to have their head shaved.
Mr. Slim didn't have hair at all.
Yeah, he didn't have hair at
this
all.
This is
he
why.
He just walked in and say, hey, give me your
this is why. That line was huge. Man, I think they sorely underestimated how little a lot of the people at PAX care about their hair at all. Like, dude, this is PAX. You say free game. These dudes don't care about their hair. Like, the line was massive over there all the time. Like, Sunday morning, right after it opened, like, people ran to the booth to get their head shaved.
Yeah, it's a voucher for a free copy of the game when it releases.
Yeah.
And only the 360 version, by the way.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Oh, what else was there? We hit Left 4 Dead, and we hit Dragon Age. You talked about Jump Gate.
Talked about Fallout, which is, I mean, everybody knows it's going to be good anyway. I don't know. Whatever. Oh. God, there's something. I know there's something.
I played TF2 for the first time.
Yeah, you did.
I went over there to PC Free Play with the TF2 guys. I want to. You know, I only played a few rounds of it, and for a game that has that many classes, I need more time to figure out what playstyle works for me. Pyro worked out well. But yeah, I think there's some fun there, and I kind of want to put some more effort into it once I get my PC built. So
yeah. Yeah, hopefully by the end of the month I'll be snagging a new video card for my PC, and hopefully that'll fix the whatever the hell is wrong with me not being able to play Source Engine games.
What else? Well, me and Daniel saw
Defense Grid. Defense Grid.
Defense Grid. Yes.
By Hidden
Path. I'm thinking, not Dwarf Fortress.
No. Though Monday we're having Tarm Adams of Dwarf Fortress on, that does remind me.
That's correct. We will have him on. So, which is Dwarf Fortress a tower defense game?
No, not at all.
Oh shit! Fuck. There's another more me sounding stupid on the show. So yeah, it's a defense. It's a tower defense game.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Really fun. Like really fun.
I'd never played a tower. When they were asking me, hey, what do you think about it? And I was like, well, I've never played one of these before. And they said, well, good. What does somebody fresh to this think of it? And I said, well, it looks like a weird version of Lemmings.
Yeah, it is. Like when he said that, it's like backwards Lemmings. Instead of having all your dudes survive, you want everybody dead by the end of it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the Lemmings like version.
They keep sending these swarms who only go on the set path. They don't attack. They don't really do anything. They're on the rails.
They're trying to go to your base and get the shit and get back.
And I'm trying to burn bridges, and I'm trying to make sure that they fall off that cliff as best they can.
Yeah.
Be it by lasers and flamethrowers and, what was the other one? The Tesla?
Yeah, the Tesla Tower.
The Tesla Tower, yes. It's always cool.
Was really cool. It's a lot of fun. Obviously, this isn't going to be like a $50 game.
No, and that was another thing. That was something else.
Price point they don't have yet.
They asked us. That was the first. I was amazed that they looked at us and they said, "So, what do you think? What would you pay for a game like this?" I was like, "Awesome! Thank you for giving me that opportunity to tell you that I'm not sure exactly what I would pay for a game like this."
But $20 to $30, it would be especially if you've put any time into like Desktop Tower Defense or anything. It's really really good. When they've got such a stacked development team, it's like 8 guys, I think he said.
And they're all from different genres.
It's 8 guys who have a wide spectrum of,
Civ,
of genres.
They're from Civ. They're from what? Rise of Nations.
Yeah, Age of Empires, Rise of Nations. Yeah. A variety of things, and they average 11 years apiece on average on AAA titles. And I'm like, well, you've kind of stacked the deck a little bit, haven't you? So they all know what they're doing. And so the gameplay is just really good. It's really fun. And they've combined it's not totally on rails. They give you a little bit of freedom in certain areas, and then other parts of it are pathed. So I don't know. They have a good concept. And if they put it out there for the right price point, I think they're going to do really, really well.
Was there any games you guys were not disappointed in, but games that you wanted to play that you didn't get around to getting to get your hands on?
I think Little Big Planet was the only one.
Well, I don't even count that.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
I wanted to play Polarity, and I didn't get to.
I played all the PAX 10.
I didn't get a chance to play any of those, and I
it took a long time.
The only one I got a chance to play was the Maw, which I enjoyed. That was fun.
Oh God, that was fun. I think it may have been the best one.
You think so? I mean, you got to play all of them.
I touched every single one of them.
Well, that's good because he contacted me about being on the show.
Yeah,
so can have
man, and I mean, I didn't get to play it for very long, obviously, but it was a lot of fun. I really, really liked what they did there.
I really enjoyed it. What I saw now, there were two games involving magnetism. So I assume I'm thinking of the correct one when I say Polarity. Is that the one where you have the little dude with the suit that has the red and the blue fields?
Yeah.
Retract or repel. Okay. I watched somebody play that for a while, and that looked like a pretty fun.
It was it
platform puzzler kind of thing.
It certainly was up there.
I don't think there was a single boring PAX 10.
Yeah, I was about to say. They did a really good job with what they picked. It was
about
the
only thing you would think.
They were all
maybe
really,
Audio
really good.
Surf, just because it's been out for so long that
well,
we know what that.
Yeah,
does.
Okay, I was about to say. But, I'm not a big fan of Audio Surf.
A lot of these games are the first time you'd ever play them. So
yeah,
it's. I look forward to any of those that are coming to the Xbox Live Arcade, which some of them and almost most of them are.
Yeah, if you're Microsoft, I would start getting on people about getting those all on the arcade because they're all really good titles.
Mm-hmm.
Just so much fun. There's a lot of good stuff there, and stuff that I would certainly not have seen otherwise.
Yeah,
a lot of it was new to me.
Well, that's my next thing. Dennis has been to PAX.
Yeah.
I have been to PAX before. This was your first PAX for the two of you.
Yeah.
I'll start with Jeremy. What do you think about your first PAX?
I had a blast.
I know you talked about you had more swag than you got from the E3, from when you went to E3.
Yeah.
Or better swag, at least.
Yeah, certainly better swag.
But loved it?
Yes.
Good.
I don't know what to say about
would,
that.
I would have heard more words than just like it? Yes. All right, moving on.
it's quite an experience. So I intend to do that on a yearly basis.
When I came back from PAX last year, I was all about, oh my God, you've got to go. It's the greatest thing. I was kind of worried that maybe either I overhyped it or maybe that was just me coming off I was hoping that the second one that I go to was going to be am I going to come away feeling this excited, or was that just because it was my first time? And I really came away feeling the exact same way. I'm like, oh my God, you got to go. It's so much fun. You know, so I'm glad it lived up to the hype for you. Mm-hmm. You know, what about you? It's your first PAX, Daniel.
Well, there were 58,000 people there.
Fucking
the
A, wasn't there?
So,
just shy, I think, of the last public E3.
So, yeah, 58,000 people is a whole fuck ton of people to put into even as huge of a venue as the Seattle Convention Center is.
It's only going to get bigger. I know you're thinking, yeah. How, but...
No, I mean, I believe it.
Well, next year they're expanding into the fifth floor, right?
Yeah, they're going to go up a floor as well.
It's like a training convention or something going on.
Yes.
I'm not kidding.
Yes, yeah, it was. Above us, it was the
transgender convention or something.
And then in 2010, they're splitting it to East and West Coast.
Which I think it will be a much different convention. A much better convention. Both ways. Luckily, you know, I had the benefit of having a media badge, which helped out a lot. But I was often sitting there thinking to myself, if I did not have this badge, this would be 3 days of waiting in line a lot.
That's what E3 always was.
Which is not what a convention needs to be. Like, that's not what you need to do if you're flying across the country. Not even a quarter of your time.
There is a lot more to do at PAX without waiting in line.
There is. I mean, that, yeah. And yeah. I mean, while that's valid,
if you spend all your time on the exhibit floor, then yeah, you're going to be waiting in line
or,
all the time. But
or even trying to go to a lot of the panels and stuff like that, there were lines for a lot of them. A lot of this, almost everything in the main theater had a line. All the big stuff like Fallout and everything. And so if you're having to get there like an hour, 2 hours early, that's just fucked up. Like, like that's... If you're flying across the country, you shouldn't be spending 25% of your time sitting in a line. That's just not how that should work. So they need to come up with a solution there. I mean, I love the convention. I love what they do there. And there's so much good stuff. With how big it is, they need to come up with a magical people-managing solution of some kind. Because there were apparently people in that Fallout line that had been waiting there for quite a while that didn't get to see it. So, apparently they had a massive line. And, I mean, they just had to turn
it off. The Left 4 Dead line was long.
Yeah.
Dragon Age line was long.
Well, I'm talking about the
oh, you mean the presentation of the theater. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Like, apparently that was quite a popular deal. And, you know, like I said, I had the benefit of having the media badge, so I could kind of skip the line and just go in. But that needs to be managed better. But I think they've already said that in a couple of interviews that I've been reading with, you know, what did you learn this year was we got to figure out a way to manage these lines.
Well,
there's
you know,
a lot of people.
We were saying that there were choke points on the floor.
Yeah, and there are a handful of choke points.
The aisles were wide
better.
Enough because, you know, you get like three people walking together that suddenly decide to stop and look at shit and the
you
lane's
can't
blocked.
Go anywhere, yeah.
You're fucked.
So, you know, I mean, all in all, it's a really great convention, and there's a lot of good stuff there. They did a really good job with just the content. It didn't seem like there was filler, really.
Did you
anywhere.
Notice the lanyards this year were Ghostbuster lanyards?
Yeah.
Ghostbusters, the video game lanyards.
Which wasn't there at all.
There was a press release that Ecto-1 would be there. This was all before Activision decided not to publish the game. This was all before they lost a publisher. And so the only remnant left were those
lanyards.
Well,
those lanyards, the, like, 80 bajillion Ghostbusters.
You kind of got them, and you're like...
Do those glow in the dark, by the way?
Yes.
They do.
I saw mine at home, actually, was when I noticed it.
It's
hanging on the doorknob, and I turned the light off, and I was like...
Has there ever been any Ghostbusters merchandise that
doesn't glow in the dark? Oh, and you know what? The little plastic balls from the Champions Online gun?
Yeah.
Those glow in the dark.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a little mini game that I can play now where I shoot the plastic ball down the hall and the cat goes chasing it. And then, so then I see at the end of the hall where there's no light, this like little glowy ball just bouncing all over the place. It's brought me infinite amusement.
All right.
Well, no, it was a great PAX.
Yeah,
and,
I think that.
You got to see Colton and you got to see, of course, you'd already seen Colton,
already
but
seen
not it with how many people were at that concert? Like, I don't know, 6,000 other people.
Yeah, 80 bajillion.
It was huge. And so, did you Did you play any Metroid Prime pinball with us?
I did.
Yeah.
And I did. Great. That was great.
That's a good game.
So, a lot of fun there, and just had a great time. What did you do outside of PAX?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, I know you went to... I know you went to GameWorks.
I went to GameWorks Thursday night.
Yeah.
Oh, GameWorks is excellent.
GameWorks was shitty.
Really?
Like, almost half their shit was broken.
I think I was there like 4 years.
Yeah.
4 years
like,
ago.
Like, the concept of GameWorks
was new
awesome.
Then.
And I was like, oh, sweet, I can go play this game. Nobody's on it. Oh, that's because it doesn't work. Well, all the shit that works has, like, massive people, and, like, half the shit was broken. I was really disappointed. But then I had a few drinks, and it didn't seem so bad, so...
I was going to say, that's the best part about it. You can drink and play games.
My that's why it didn't seem so bad after a while.
But then again, like, we can just, you know, go to Atlanta for that if we really wanted to.
Like, GameWorks Thursday night, and then, like, I mean, then it was PAX.
Cool.
And then I slept, and then I got up and went to PAX, and then I came home and slept and got up and went to PAX. Somewhere in there, I think I went and bought a smoothie. That was the extent of my outside extracurricular activities.
Are you gonna go next year?
Oh, I definitely want to go next year.
Are you gonna call way ass ahead and get a room at the Sheraton?
Somewhere downtown, yeah, yeah. I'll say what though, I'm gonna get my own bed.
Who'd you sleep with?
Dave. Dave and I went through the nightly ritual of erecting the pillow wall.
Exactly. How many pillow walls were built at PAX? I'm sure quite a few.
I want to talk about
a defense, tower defense. There you go.
Yeah. Wang defense. It's... But,
it's one of those, where's your hand? Between two pillows? Yeah. Those aren't pillows!
It's not my hand. Oh my god.
And on that note,
I didn't know you shared a bed with Dave. He didn't tell us you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he shared a bed with Dave on the final night.
That's right, I did.
Pillow wall, too. And you, I
didn't have a pillow.
He's such a cuddly. He's such a cuddly.
I to bring your pillow.
I didn't have any problem.
That Dave. Did you curl up with him? Did you let him wrap those big strong arms around you?
I guess that was unique to your experience. I mean.
So were you the big spoon or the little spoon?
What's cool about Dave is, and I know it's a little bit personal because, I mean, we've known him. I've known him.
I was going to say, I've known him for, like, man, like, at least 4 months.
I've known him for many, many, many years. Longer than I've known anybody associated with the show, I've known Dave. And so when he told me he was going to PAX, I thought, God, I hope this works for him, because he's not going to know a single person. He doesn't really play games all that much.
He does now.
Yeah.
He bought a DS at PAX.
DS.
I know, that's what I'm saying. The way he sort of...
He got infected.
I don't necessarily say came out of his shell.
Probably because
he
was sleeping
adapted,
with you.
You know?
Rubbed off on him, what can I say? That came out wrong.
There's a stylist joke in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the way he adapted to everything, where he just mingled well with everybody else from EVAV, and just, you know, had fun regardless of what, he was just like, all right, cool, you know?
Yeah, well.
And so, you know, good job on Dave for doing that and just kind of adapting to the situation. Met a lot of listeners of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks to all the people that stopped me and were like, hey, I listened to the show. That was really awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that was cool. Just the random... Like, the random guy from Wizards of the Coast. When I was out eating somewhere, I wasn't even in the convention center. Like, guy from Wizards goes, you have Avatar Radio? And I was like, yes. So I listen all the time. Awesome.
So, yeah, thanks to everybody who came up and said hello and that they enjoyed the podcast. Thanks to... I want to say hello to everybody we picked up with the hater episode. Apparently, we got a lot of... I ran into at least three people who said, oh, no, I started listening when you guys had Hater on. Love the show, you know? Like, oh, well, thanks. So... everybody who picked up since then, and it was just great, a lot of fun, and you don't get that at E3.
Yeah,
the E3 that is now, you don't get that. You may get some of the PR dev people saying, "Oh yeah, I'm familiar with the show," but you don't get people coming up saying, "Oh, I listened to it." Why? Because most of them already have their own show. That's the reason they're
at
E3.
That's why they're at E3 is they've got their own deal.
But when you're at PAX, man, you're running into all these people who are just, you know. Who are either fans of the show, fans of the site, whatever the case, they're there. So, hello to all you guys. But yeah, we can. I guess we can wrap that up. Anything else before we go, as far as PAX?
I don't think so. I'm good.
Cool. Not as far as sex.
I think we covered it pretty well.
Yeah.
You're going next year again, Jeremy?
Yeah, unless something unexpected comes up, yeah.
Daniel's going again next year. I'm going again next year. Dennis,
hopefully so. Well, unless, you know, if the stars align, man, then I'm there.
Well, I hope so. And Dana and James will be out there at the, by that time.
Yeah.
they'll be like, oh, God, they'll be,
you know what, though?
Where those voodoo donuts are. Holy
yeah,
God.
That's what I was about to say. Before we go, I got to say thanks to Voodoo Donuts apparently handling our big-ass order.
You got your order in, right?
Yeah.
Fucking maple bacon.
Maple bacon donut is the best thing I've ever
put
in. What? Shit.
It's a freaking donut with like maple.
It's not a donut, that's a coronary.
No, it's heaven.
Dude.
It's what Jesus tastes like.
It's what Jesus tastes like. This is what Jesus must taste like. Maple bacon, goodness. On that note, we should go.
Yeah, yep, that's so it. Monday.
All right, later. We're going to, Monday, we'll have.
Yes, we'll have Tarn Adams on from Dwarf Fortress.
Yes.
Talking about procedural content, which is kind of appropriate with Spore coming out on Sunday.
So if you have questions,
you should go.
You should email us at everyone
at
evilavatarradio.com.
Yeah, everyone at evilavatarradio.com if you've got questions for Tarn Adams. So we'll see you next week, next Monday on Evil Avatar Radio. Bye.